RNZ's rural news reporter Maya Burry joins us from Otautahi, Christchurch. And it's a busy time on the vineyards. The grape harvest is getting underway.
Kia ora, Sally and Duncan. Yes, I remember a few years ago, Country Life did do a whole series on wine production. So this is probably a topic a few listeners are pretty clued up on. Things are really kicking into gear at the moment with the Sauvignon Blanc harvest getting underway in the key growing area of Marlborough this week. And a little bit of wine trivia. Last season, 532,000 tonnes of grapes from around 700 wineries were harvested in New Zealand. The Sauvignon Blanc variety does account for about 75% of total production. We checked in with the industry group Wine Marlborough, and Marcus Pickens says that things are going well this season and yields should be on par with the long-term average. He says it's critical that the weather stays dry and windy for the quality to be maintained.
They have, but it's on that sort of knife edge. You know, there has been disease pressure with the summer we've had. Most people have been really responded to that incredibly well, but you know, you've always at the sort of slight mercy of that that rainfall coming in. So we're just hoping to avoid that, and I'm sure quality will be very good.
So fingers crossed on that front. And Marcus Pickens says, thankfully, with the border restrictions now over, the supply of labour on vineyards has improved. And he says that's really good because wineries wouldn't have coped with a fourth season of not having enough experienced staff.
Managed to, you know, land a few people from overseas just to relieve that pressure. And then wineries have also responded. A number of the larger wineries have increased the amount of permanent workforce they have in the winery all year. So it's been a really good mitigation on the front of wineries, having that core crew that are experienced. It just helps so much when you're bringing new people in for that, you know, 6 to 8 weeks or 12 weeks of work.
And we also checked in with growers down in central Otago. Speaking to viticulturalist James Dicey, he said that Pinot Noir grapes, which are destined for rosé production, as well as Chardonnay grapes, were starting to be harvested down in the south this week. He said it had been actually a really great season for grape growers there in the region, and it was exciting to see the harvest kicking off. But at the same time, he did say he was thinking of growers in the North Island who, as we know, have been pretty hard hit by severe weather.
Yeah, harvest not going to be so good up in the North Island. Rural primary school principals were among those on the picket lines during Thursday's strike, Maya.
Yes, this got a fair bit of news coverage. About 50,000 teachers from secondary, primary and area schools and kindergartens did go on strike on Thursday. And there were primary school principals who also took part. We spoke to some rural primary school principals who said that some of the challenges facing urban schools are actually magnified out in the countryside. That included Rachel Weinberg from Nakuru Primary School in rural Rotorua, who said principals' pay is determined by the number of students they have, which actually, she says, unfairly disadvantages those in charge of small rural schools. She says that lack of funding means that she also has to act as a relief teacher, a special educational needs teacher, part-time office manager, caretaker, cleaner, finance manager. So she said that she's wearing a lot of hats, and she actually had to take a $12,000 pay cut to go from being the deputy principal at a city school to the principal of Nakuru Primary. Another person we spoke to is Andrew King, who's the principal of Oropi School in rural Bay of Plenty, and he agreed that there's certainly no incentive to be at the helm of a small school.
You've got principals that might earn less or the same as teachers, which therefore begs the question, what's the incentive to be a principal when you're ultimately responsible for the school in a self-governed school? And also another issue is relativities to pay of secondary school principals. So a secondary principal in a school the same size as mine would be earning more.
And Andrew King says that rural schools are getting fewer and fewer applicants. He says that affects the quality of the education that rural children then receive. And he says this is at a time when students actually need more support due to COVID-19 and severe weather disruptions.
So important now to be a community leader as a principal, which goes beyond the school gate. And that's just how it is, and that's how it will be for the next 5 years at least, I suspect, because of climate change and the pandemic and the consequences of that, where we've got more and more complex issues with kids' needs.
So as you can see, some pretty strong feelings about this one, but no resolution as of yet.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Also this week, dairy giant Fonterra announced a pretty big profit.
Yep, pretty big numbers we're talking about here, Duncan. Fonterra has reported a 50% jump in its first half profit. That is thanks to better prices for some dairy products. So net profit for the 6 months ended January was $546 million. That compares to $346 million a year ago. Chief Executive Miles Hurrell, he did hold a bit of a briefing on Thursday where he talked to media and shareholders, and he said that the co-op's scale and diversification across markets meant that it was able to pivot to make the most of market conditions.
With less milk collected and whole milk powder prices down, we have produced less whole milk powder and moved more milk into skim milk powder and cream products, and this has had a higher return. We've also made the most of favourable margins in our protein portfolio, notably casein and caseinate and cheese products, by moving a high proportion of the current season milk into these products, which has benefited earnings.
And in terms of the milk check, Fonterra has left its forecast farmgate milk price range unchanged at $8.20 to $8.80 per kilogram of milk solids. That's after it lowered the midpoint of that range by 50 cents last month. And Miles Hurrell did acknowledge that that's pretty close to the break-even price for many dairy farmers. And when we spoke to Fonterra farmers about Fonterra's update, they did sort of say the same thing. They were happy to see Fonterra's books in good health, but they would prefer that milk price to just have stayed a little bit higher. One of those people we spoke to was Federated Farmers Dairy Chair Richard McIntyre. He's a share milker in Horowhenua. And he says a few years ago, a payout in the $8 range, that would have spelled a hugely profitable season for all farmers. But he says in these times, it's just not the case.
Yeah, we're seeing interest rate costs. They're forecast to continue to increase over the next year and a half. Labour costs are certainly going up as well still. And most of the other costs are sort of holding steady, if not increasing slightly as well. For the average farm, the break-even milk price for this season is $8.42. So that means that it's essentially roughly half of the farmers will still be making a profit, and the other half will be starting to become cash flow negative.
And Fonterra will confirm its final milk price in September. That's all from me for now, but if you are hungry for any rural news updates during the week, then we're on air on RNZ twice daily, Monday through to Friday. Our first update is at 6:26 during Morning Report if you're an early bird, but if you enjoy more of a sleep-in, you can catch us at 12:35 during Midday Report.
Kia ora, Maya, and thank you very much for all your contributions to Country Life. It's your last one this week, so all the best.